Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome back to the weekly radio broadcast from Independence Baptist Church. Now, last week, we started a very intriguing topic dealing with what the Bible says about how the earth was created. And in our message this morning, Pastor Reynolds, he's going to be continuing that topic about how God created the world. So I'd encourage you to listen closely as we discuss some of the biblical facts about how our universe was started.
The Bible states in the book of Genesis 1 and verse number 1, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." This is a fact that many people would love to disagree with, and they do disagree with this fact. Genesis 1, verse number 1 states, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." Many well-educated scientists do not believe that God has created the heaven and the earth by speaking it into existence, even though the Bible clearly states that he did. This whole argument boils down to one very simple truth. Either you believe the Bible or you don't. It's as simple as that. I am very confident, however, that God has created this entire heaven and the entire earth on which we live. I believe that the Bible is right when the Bible gives the age of the earth at about 6,000 years of age. I'm confident of this fact, not because science has proved it, but in spite of what some scientists say they have proved. Listen, there are many well-educated scientists who declare that the world is millions or even billions of years old. There's even some scientists that say that the universe did not even have a beginning. But I believe exactly what the Bible says in His Word, not what men say. It is very important to me to understand that the Bible says that the earth is 6,000 years old. Now, I did not always believe this. I was raised in a Christian home. I was taught in a home the biblical account of creation. But when I got into college, that was a very different situation. I remember in high school that our science teacher said this. He said, "When you get to college, you will run into this issue of creation versus evolution. But you remember this. You just remember that evolution is not so." That's what my science teacher taught me in high school. When I got to college, I found that he was exactly right. I came face to face with a theory of evolution in biology class. In this class, there were many charts and diagrams that portrayed evolution and its progressive steps. There was an actual skeleton in the class, which was very remarkable to me because I'd never seen a skeleton before. There were charts and diagrams that showed a pool of water where life began. The next step was fish, which also began in the water, and then some sort of creature came up out of the water and moved up to the land. The chart then showed the development of plants, and many other animals then came along. Finally, there was an ape, and a man came from the ape. I'd never seen anything like that in my entire life, much less to have an authority figure, a teacher, tell me that this was true. Some in the class, who were more knowledgeable than me, argued with the professor, but found out very quickly not to argue with this man. I remember one incident that a good friend of mine had in the class with this professor. You see, the professor had made a mathematical mistake when he changed Fahrenheit into centigrade. It was a simple math error. But when this error was pointed out to him, the professor got very irritated. The student that pointed this out was my dear friend. He was so irritated that he dismissed class and met with a student in his office, telling him never to publicly mention that he had ever made any kind of error at all. This was the type of person he was. I know that not all evolutionists are like this. I know, but this man did not want to hear the truth if that truth went against anything he had said, anything he had taught, or anything he had practiced. Really, that the whole truth of the matter is this, that anybody who wants to hear the truth and receive that truth must first realize that sometimes they are wrong. Everybody ought to seek the truth, so we will know and possess the truth, not just have things our way. Evolutionists I'm acquainted with give the type of impression to me that anyone who disagrees with evolution should sit down and be quiet. They just don't want to hear it. They're not interested in knowing what the truth is. Just don't change anything that they say. You see, the Bible says that God has created this entire universe in which we live in six literal 24-hour days. Last Sunday morning, we preached to you concerning the fact that God has created all of this universe, and we gave in that lesson 12 examples of Scripture, not in the book of Genesis, rather that were in other books of the Bible that taught about this very important subject of God creating all of this universe. This morning, we want to continue with the same thought, and I trust that it'll be a blessing unto you. Listen, God has created this entire world. God has created all things that we see. God has done that for His sake. God wants us that are living in this world to understand that God is God and that He can do anything. God created all of this world not to cause confusion, rather to give clarity to the fact that He can do anything. God can even save your soul. Salvation is God's gift that He gives to you. He gives to me. That is God's gift that He gives. Just like He gave us life, God can give us eternal life as well. Now, let's read in the book of Exodus, chapter 20, and verse number 9 through verse number 11, and speak about the subject that God has created all of this world. Listen, the reason that God has created this world in six literal days and rested on the Sabbath day is given to us in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 9 through verse number 11. You ever wonder why there are 7 days in a week? The Bible tells us right here why there are 7 days in each week. The Bible said, 6 days shalt thou labor. I'm reading in Exodus 20 and verse 9. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. Wow! This is what God has said. But why did He say this? In verse number 11, the Bible said here, "For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." What God has told the nation of Israel is that He wants them to do like He did. He is our example, and God wants Israel to follow His example. His example was this, that God has created all things on this earth. He created the heavens. He created this, everything that's here. And God told Israel, He said, "I want you to do just like I did. I want you to rest on the seventh day." You see, what God gave the command to Israel is good for us as well. God commanded Israel to rest, and God wants us to also have a day of rest. Our rest should include worshiping God in spirit and in truth. Worshiping God one day a week, that's 1/7 of the time that God's given to us on this earth. We ought to give it unto God and worship Him on Sunday. We ought to remember the good things that God has done for us. Notice again, in the book of Exodus 31 and verse number 17, the Bible said here in this place, Exodus 31, verse 17. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. This passage in Exodus 31, verse 17, is speaking about not working on the Sabbath day. The reason we should not work on the Sabbath day, that is, that we ought to have a day of rest, is because God created the heaven and the earth in 6 days, and he rested on the seventh day. Think of this. God is God. He can do anything he wants to do. Right? I mean, God can speak, and it can be so. God can think it, and he can work it out. God could have created all of this universe in one day instead of creating it in 6 days, then resting on the Sabbath day. Think of that. God could have created all this world, all the heavens, all the universe, by speaking it into existence in one day. But he didn't do that. Why did God speak it into existence on several days? Why did God take 6 days to do it? And then why did God rest on the Sabbath day? Was it because God was tired? Listen, God doesn't get tired. God is a spirit, and God is all powerful, and God doesn't need any rest. Not like we do. We need to rest, right? I mean, that's it. But God is God, and he's all powerful, and he doesn't need any rest. Why did God rest then? Because he wants us to rest on the Lord's day from all the labor that we have. God wants us to take this one day a week and dedicate that one day just to worshiping God and serving God and doing things God's way. Listen, you will be blessed much if you just simply obey what the Lord has said and not work on Sunday. Now, I know that we have electricity going on Sunday. I know that the hospitals and all that's got to be open on Sunday. I know that. But listen, there's a lot of things that don't need to be open on Sunday. That's just it. God did not rest on the Sabbath day because he was tired. But he rested on this Sabbath day as an example to us. And we ought to follow the example that he so liberally has given to us just to do what he wants us to do. But look again in the book of Psalms chapter 8. There is no thought at all but that God created the heavens and the earth. There is no hint of evolution in Psalms 8. But it is very clear that David, King David, believed in a special creation. Notice what the Bible said here in Psalms 8, beginning in verse number 3. David writes this, "When I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him?" David in this place, in Psalms 8, looks at the sun. He looks at the moon. He looks at the stars. And he understands that these are things that God has created. He looks at himself. And he says in verse number 4, "What is man that thou art even mindful of him? And the Son of Man, that thou hast visited him, that hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor, that madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands, and hast put all things under his feet." Well, this is the truth, isn't it? Because God has given to man the authority, the power over his creation. The Bible said in verse number 7, "All sheep and oxen, yea, and the beast of the field, the fowl of the air, the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth." It's amazing, is it not, that all of God's creation he has put into the hands of men. And you know why he's done that? Because God wants men to recognize his power and his strength and his glory and his honor. men, as they look at the creation and they delve into the creation and they examine it over and over again, they ought to see the power of God in the creation. What a story this is. What a great thing that God has done here. But look again in Psalms 104. The Bible states here that God is blessed, that God has done all kinds of good things. Look in verse number 5. Psalms 104 and verse number 5. The Bible said here in this place, who laid the foundations of the earth, that it should not be removed forever. Thou coverest it with the deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. At thy rebuke they fled, and the voice of thy thunder they hastened away. They go up by the mountains. They go down by the valleys unto the place which thou hast founded for them, that is set a bound, that they may not pass over, that they turn not again to cover the earth. Wow! All of this psalm in Psalms 104 speaks about the greatness and the power of Almighty God. This Bible is very true. You think about when you look at the seaside, and how that the water of the oceans rush into the shore, and yet the shore is never eroded away. Think of that. For about 4,000 years since the flood happened in the days of Noah, it's been this way. That the waters rush into the sand, but the sand will not go away at all. This is simply showing the power, the strength of Almighty God. He wants man to look at all of the things that he's done on this earth, that they might see the greatness of God. What a wonderful God that we do have. But look again in the book of Matthew 19 and verse number 4 through verse number 6. In this place, Christ believed that man was made male and female from the very beginning. Notice in Matthew 19, verses 4 through verse number 6, the Pharisees in this place were questioning Christ concerning divorce because they had forgotten the details, the facts of creation. In Matthew 19, verse 4 through verse 6, and he answered and said unto them, have ye not read that he which hath made them at the beginning made them male and female? Notice in verse number 4, Jesus Christ answered their question concerning divorce, and he said, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? God at the very beginning made a man, and God made a woman. He made a woman from the rib of a man. That's what the Bible states. And Jesus Christ is confirming for us this invaluable truth, that if we would understand where women really came from, it wasn't that women were intended to be lower than a man, because at the beginning they were not, but it's rather because of sin that came in, that God has given man the dominion. That's absolutely what the Bible states. Just understand that that's so. And he said in verse number 5 of Matthew 19, in verse number 5, he said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. You see, the Pharisees here did not know that they were speaking to the Creator. Therefore they reveal their ignorance. It's a shame, is it not, that they did not understand this very vital fact, but they had changed the Word of God, and men in that day began to divorce a woman for every cause. The Bible said that's not right to do at all. They began to take them otherwise, and the Bible said that's not right for them to do at all. You know, it's a fact, is it not, that God has created man. And God has created woman. And God meant for them to be together. God meant for them to have children. And God meant for them to fill the earth with children. That's what God intended for it to all happen. Now notice, and we want to make this point again as you read in the book of 2 Peter 3 and verse 5 through verse 7, that we're not reading in the book of Genesis concerning how that God has created the heavens and the earth. We're reading in other places that confirm this very valuable truth. There are many places in the Bible that speak about God creating the heaven and the earth. This is just one more of these. But this picture in the book of 2 Peter 3 and verse 5 through verse 7 takes it just one step further. And it tells us that God has not only created this world, but God will also bring this world to destruction. The Bible said here in 2 Peter 3 and verse number 5, "For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished." This is talking about the people that died in the days of Noah. This is talking about Noah's flood in the book of 2 Peter 3 and verse 5 and verse 6. The Bible said, "Wherefore the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished." But the Bible goes on in verse number 7, says this, "But the heavens and the earth, which are now," that's the ones we're living on right now, "by the same word," that is, God has given his word about this, that he will no longer flood the world with water. But one of these days, he's going to destroy it by fire. The Bible said, "by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men." You see, some folks are willingly ignorant of the fact that God spoke the worlds into existence. Therefore, they are willingly ignorant of the fact that the soon return of the Lord and the destruction of the world in which we're living right now. That's what the Bible says in the book of 2 Peter 3 and verse 5 through verse 7. Listen, this world is coming to an end. I don't know when. I have no idea when. My job, however, is not just to talk about the end of the world. My job, the part of the thing that God has called me to do, is to preach his everlasting gospel to you. That's why Independence Baptist Church has this radio broadcast. We want you to hear the Word of God. We want you to understand the Word of God. We want you to believe the Word of God. We want you to adhere to the Word of God. We want you to grow up. We want you to stop sinning. We want you to do what God wants you to do, because the destruction of this world is soon coming. As I said again, I don't know when. I just know what the Bible says here in this place, that God wants you to be right with him. Notice again, in the book of Hebrews 4 and verse number 4, God resting on the Sabbath day from all of his work. Hebrews 4 and verse 4. The Bible said, "For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all of his works." This passage is teaching that we ought to rely upon Christ more and more as we live. Not just to rely upon the money that we can make by working on Sunday. That's what the Bible says. God can take care of his own. God knows what you need, and God wants you to rely upon him more and more. God has created the world out of absolutely nothing. Romans 4 and verse number 7 states this very important fact, that God has created the worlds, God has created the universe out of absolutely nothing. The Bible said in this place, Romans 4 and verse 17, "calling those things which be not as though they were." You see, the Bible says that those things which God has called, he has breathed them into existence. He has said, "Let there be light." There was light. He said, "Let there be the herb of the field." And that herb came forth. God said, "Let there be life." And there was life. God breathed into the nostrils of man, and man became a living soul. God spoke the worlds into existence. The Bible said in the book of Hebrews 11, verse number 3, the Bible declares here, things that are seen were not made of things which do appear. The Bible said in Psalms 33, verse 6 through 9, this verse tells us who made the heavens by his word and the host of heaven by the breath of his mouth. The Bible said in Psalms 33, verse 6 to verse number 9, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. Understand what the Bible is saying here. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as a heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. This is the way that we ought to be, trusting in the Lord God. The Bible said in the book of Amos, chapter 4, and verse number 13, this verse informs us that the Lord, the God of hosts, created all things. The Bible said in this final verse that we want to read to you today, Amos 4 and verse 13 says this, for lo, he that formeth the mountains, and createth the wind, and declareth unto man what is his thought, that maketh the morning darkness, and treadeth upon the high places of the earth, the Lord, the God of hosts, is his name. What God wants us to do is to realize that he has created everything, that all things upon this earth are here because God spoke it into existence, even man, even you. God wants you to lift up your eyes upon high. God wants you to look at the mountains, and God wants you to understand that God has created all of these things. God wants you to stand in awe of him, for he is God. One of these days, every soul will answer to God. Today, if you're lost, trust Jesus Christ. Look to him, and he alone can wash away your sins. This is why Jesus Christ came and died for our sins on the cross of Calvary. But Jesus Christ did not stay dead, because Jesus Christ arose from the dead by his own power. Just like Jesus Christ can cause us to have the resurrection of life. If you just trust in him, he can make it all come to pass.
You know, thank you again, Brother Wayne, for bringing this much-needed topic about creation. It's one that so many people struggle with because they just don't understand either what the Bible says about it, and at the same time, the world around us is pushing us, and they're really pushing to prove this false idea of evolution, because many of them just don't want to have to admit that there's a God that they're accountable to. And so they're really pushing that idea, and it's encouraging to really dig into the Bible and see what the Bible has to say about it. Now, for those of you that might want to know more about this topic of creation, I'd really encourage you to check out two additional resources. Go to our website, which is independencebaptist.org. Click on the link for 6,000 Year Earth, and there's going to be a good article, a good book, actually, about what the Bible says about the current age of this earth. The second resource would be a website of www.answersingenesis.org. Answersingenesis.org. This is a website of an organization that's dedicated to showing how the Bible's account of creation is correct. Not only correct, but it can be backed up with science, even though many scientists don't want to admit that. Again, because most of them would prefer to not admit there's a God, because then if he exists, they have to be accountable to him. But Answers in Genesis has some great studies that they've done and gathered some really, really useful information to help you defend the biblical account of creation. Now, as we come down to the end of the broadcast, we do want to invite you to services with us. Our services will be starting at 10 a.m. and we'll be meeting at 124 South Main Street in Forestdale, Missouri. We also want to invite you to come and join us for our yearly revival services the week of July 24th. We'll be having those services each morning at 10 a.m. and then evening services at 7 p.m. Now, we are out of time this morning, but we're thankful you're able to join us, and we look forward to being with you again next Sunday at 8 a.m. for another message from God's Holy Word.